Appreciate the beautiful service so far. It's been awesome. I trust that as we've spent the last three services together, that you, especially young people, have given careful thought to your spiritual lives. The purpose of a revival is to renew our strength in the Lord. A revival should help us to become more productive in working in the kingdom of God. Revival should elevate our spirits and lift us up into heavenly places. We stated in the very first service that we are so thankful for a pastor who has a heart for revival. That's an awesome blessing. That is a true blessing. You know, as a young man being asked to come here and speak, I consider myself relatively young in the scheme of things. And first of all, I don't feel worthy to come and speak to you. I'm not sure why Brother Derek asked me. Maybe the Lord laid it upon his heart because the Lord knew I needed some help this week. I'm not exactly sure. But as a young man being asked to speak here for this youth revival, young people, I hope you realize that I didn't come to chastise you, to rebuke you. I didn't come to find fault with anyone or to pick at you. I believe this morning that my responsibility in speaking to you this week was to encourage you, to help build you up, and to help you realize that you can be exactly what God wants you to be. During the course of this meeting, God's been very, very faithful to me. He's given me a much needed boost, a lifting up of my spirit, and a renewed sense of dedication to the beautiful church of God. If you didn't get anything out of this revival, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to go home sad, because I have. God's blessed me in a wonderful way, and I thank Him for it this morning. I feel like I've been in a revival. My prayer for you young people especially is that you have heard these messages in such a way that you too have been encouraged and built up. But I also hope that you've been challenged. I hope that you've heard these messages and you felt the challenge down in your soul. Young people, this morning I want you to know that I really believe in you. I believe that you can accomplish anything that you put your minds to. I believe that each and every one of you young people here this morning can become exactly what God wants you to be. And that belief is why I attempt to challenge you when I speak. I remember as a young person, there were times in my life where I felt like no one believed in me. Sometimes I felt like I had a great idea, or I felt like I could really get busy about something and I could accomplish something. And I would look around, and sometimes I really felt like nobody cared or no one believed in me. There were many times in my life when I would fail in achieving a goal before I ever got started. I was defeated before I ever even put the rubber to the road, because I didn't even believe in myself many times. I was my own worst enemy. But I want to tell you this morning, when I was introduced into the church of God, I met a man who did believe in me. My pastor believed in me. And as a young person, I remember hearing many messages of challenge. And I wanted to take those messages to heart. I wanted to do my very best to rise up and to meet a new challenge. Because I knew that my pastor believed in me. And he had convinced me in my young life that God believed in me. And I tell you this morning, if you will accept the fact and really understand that God believes in you this morning, there's not a challenge that you can't rise up and meet, young people. You can accomplish anything you put your mind to in the kingdom of God with His help, an obedient spirit, and the right attitude. I never wanted to disappoint my pastor as a young person. When he would speak from the pulpit, and I felt that that message was fashioned just for me and for my heart, I didn't take it lightly. I wasn't a stranger to the altar. I spent a lot of services, a lot of time after services rather, down at the altar. Because I felt challenged. And I wanted God to know I was serious about meeting those challenges. And I wasn't too proud to ask Him to help me. And I believe God's been faithful in seeing that my needs have been met. But the feeling of disappointing someone is not a good feeling. I felt it. I've no doubt done it. And if you're honest this morning, there's been a time in your life where you have too. And it's not a good feeling to disappoint a friend, a husband, a wife. Young people, I know you don't like it when you disappoint mom or dad, even maybe a younger sibling. To look in someone's eyes and know that you've disappointed them hurts. It hurts when you've disappointed your pastor. And imagine how it must hurt God when we disappoint Him. We need to do our best to be pleasing to God in every way. And I would say, young people here this morning, undoubtedly, your pastor believes in you. I can tell by the way he speaks to you. And it's obvious he puts forth great effort for a revival that has been fashioned especially for you. If your pastor didn't believe in you this morning, why? Why would this be happening? He wouldn't waste his time or yours. But he does believe in you this morning. And that's why this revival has gone forth. I trust that you've thought much about what God would have you to be. And I pray that you have realized this week that we can all do more and be more for God. My hope is that you want to give your all to your salvation, as we discussed last night. That you would enjoy it in a greater way, never enduring it as if it were just simply a difficult task or some small thing like we spoke about two nights ago. And I trust that you believe me when I tell you this morning that your soul has tremendous value and your salvation is the greatest of all miracles. As we go forth from this meeting, you will encounter difficulties and temptations. It happens every time. We all know it's coming, yet we still struggle sometimes. After a glorious camp meeting or a wonderful revival, we know that troubled times are no doubt on their way. Satan's not going to sit down. Satan's not going to sit back and let the victory you've experienced and the wonderful time that you've had go on and mean something to you. He wants you to lose out. The devil's in the business of making people's lives miserable. The devil wants to see each and every one of us here this morning fail. And you know what? The devil is good at his job. If he weren't, the balcony would be full this morning, right? There'd be 3, 4, 5 services all across the land at Church of God congregations. But the devil's good at his job. And he gets people discouraged, down, and out. And you can rest assured that if you've received encouragement this week, the devil is standing ready to knock you down with that discouragement. You must be ready to go forward knowing that there's a battle ahead, young people. And I want to remind you of a very simple fact this morning. In our Christian life, more so than anything else that we do, attitude is everything. Attitude is everything. Young people, I want you to go forth from this meeting with an attitude that is representative of someone who has been saved. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you're living a life that is pleasing to God, free from sin, free from the chains and the bondage of sin, you need to go forth from this meeting with an attitude that is representative of someone who is truly saved. You know, if you were out on a deep sea fishing trip and a storm came up and your boat capsized, if people found out that that had happened, they'd make a call. You know who would come to your rescue? A branch of our service called the Coast Guard. And there's an elite group of servicemen in the country that are called rescue swimmers. It is one of the most elite and one of the most difficult jobs to have in the service. And if a rescue swimmer jumped out of a helicopter down into an icy ocean, put you in a basket, got you hauled up into that helicopter to safety, and saved your life, saved you from drowning, I would dare say that you, after that ordeal was over, would be quick to tell everyone about that experience. Everywhere you'd go, friends, family, co-workers, strangers, you would be quick to tell of the harrowing rescue of you by that amazing rescue swimmer. You'd probably write cards. You'd probably support the Coast Guard. You'd do everything within your power so people would know what an awesome organization that is. Well, I tell you this morning, if you're saved from a life of sin, then you've been saved by someone far greater and more special than a rescue swimmer. But too often, the salvation of our souls seems to be a story that we just want to leave at home or here in the church. You'd be quick to tell everyone about being saved from the ocean. You were drowning. You were almost froze. And this guy jumped out of a helicopter. He wasn't concerned with his safety. With reckless abandon, he grabbed me and he got me into the basket, and they pulled me up into the helicopter while he was still down there in the ocean, and then they went and got him. He was amazing. How much more has Christ done for mankind? Think about that this morning, saints. You'd go tell everybody about that experience, yet too often, even Church of God people don't want to share what Christ has done for them. Why? Why wouldn't you want to tell the story of your salvation? Your own personal salvation. We're just too reluctant to put it out there. Could it be we're afraid of being mocked, ridiculed? Could it be that we maybe are a little embarrassed of the stand that we choose to take, because the world might make fun of us? God help us. We need to be bold in telling people that we're saved from sin, that we don't want to be in sin, that we're separate, that we've been consecrated, put aside. We're a special people that God Himself has chosen and gave His own Son for. God did those things for us, and we need to be bold about telling the world about it. Worldly religion, they want to share the story of something. They'll make things up. They'll convince people that they have something, but their lives don't show it. They'll share things, sometimes, even to the shame of someone in the Church of God. We need to do our best in having an attitude of gratitude this morning. We, among all people in life, should have a good, a positive, an appreciative attitude, ready to let people know that the reason our lives are different and better is because Jesus Christ has saved our souls. Remember, young people, I want you to realize that you're in a battle. As soon as this, you're in a battle now, even yet this morning, no doubt. And as you go forth, the devil's going to hurl those fiery darts at you thick and fast, right? He's going to want to knock you right back down to where you were before this meeting and even lower. That's his job, and you better believe that he's going to punch the time clock and be at his post of duty. I want you to go out of this meeting with an attitude that is representative of someone who knows the Lord and is on the winning side. Thomas Jefferson said this, "Nothing on earth can stop a man with the right attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong attitude." If you have the right attitude this morning about your soul, its worth, about your happiness in the Lord, if you have an attitude that you will truly give God your all, nothing on earth or in earth can stop you from achieving your goal. You can do it. You can do it. There's no reason you can't have victory. Nothing on earth, nothing in earth. The devil's in earth, he's in people, right? What are we? We're earth. We're made up of the earth. And the devil's in a lot of people out there. But he can't stop you if you have the right attitude. But if you have the wrong attitude this morning, nothing can help you with the exception of Jesus Christ. In serving the Lord, our attitude truly is everything. You hear that saying all the time. Why won't we apply it to our Christian lives? We must have the right attitude. With it, we can accomplish anything. With the right attitude, you can receive correction. Now listen here. I want to go through some things that with the right attitude should be easy for you to do. With the right attitude, you can receive correction. You can accept a godly rebuke. The right attitude, you'll be able to hear the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. The right attitude enables you to be an encouragement to others, to observe godly examples about you. The right attitude will let you share in the joy of a brother or a sister. It will let you give freely of yourself and all that you have. The list of the things that a right attitude will enable you to do this morning would go on and on and on. You can no doubt right now think of many things that I didn't even mention. But the right attitude is as if you were to consider it this morning, a jumping off platform for many good things. A starting point. A starting point. The right, good, positive attitude is a starting point for your Christian success. The wrong attitude makes these same things very difficult, and I would even dare say this morning, impossible. Think about it with me this morning. With the wrong attitude or a bad attitude, it is very hard to accept correction or a rebuke. You will have a difficult time hearing the voice of God. People with the wrong attitude often want to share it with others, don't they? Why is that? We can't share all the good things of Christ, but boy, when we get a bad attitude, we can't wait to tell someone else about it, can we? We want to tell our friends. We want to tell our family. We want to tell our boss. We want to go tell everybody else about how he did this or she said that. and this isn't fair. Seems like it really ought to be the other way around. But we think more of what a bad attitude would do. You'll share it with people, right? And often, in your quick sharing of your bad attitude, you end up discouraging someone else. You'll never take the time with the wrong attitude to see God working in someone else's life because you're too busy telling yourself about how God hasn't done anything for you. You ever been around someone like that? They can't see the good in this brother or sister. They can't see the miracle of this one's salvation. They can't appreciate a blessing that's been heaped on someone else because they're too busy telling themselves and trying to convince you that God hasn't done enough for them. God sure blesses this one. They seem like they're the ones that always get to sing. He always plays the piano. He's always up testifying. Well, maybe the reason you don't is because you have a bad attitude. It seems really simple, but let's cut to the chase this morning. Let's not think about anything else. Let's just focus here for a minute on this. If you have a problem with the brother standing up and testifying, or the same group of people always singing, get up and sing. Why don't you get up and testify? I'll tell you the reason you can't oftentimes is because you have a bad attitude. I've heard it at home before. People come from time to time. They're not always there. And they'll say, how come every time I come, your quartet sings one or two songs? You know what I tell them? Brother, I'll gladly sit down and let you sing. Oh, no, I can't sing. You know what I say? I know. I know. Not that you can't make a noise, but you can't get up there and sing because your attitude's wrong. We've got to be careful. Don't go find fault with the people that are giving it their all because you won't. Rather, be a man. Be a woman this morning. Stand up, look at yourself in the mirror and say, no more. I don't want this bad attitude. Rebuke the devil and he will flee. You've got to take a stand from time to time. You can't expect to just always feel sorry for yourself and walk around in the doldrums and expect God to bless you. He wants to, and he will, but it starts with having the right attitude. And if that's the condition that you're in this morning, the right attitude is, God, I'm sorry. I need to do better. I can do better. I can measure up. I tell you that because this week I've sat over in that room by myself, and I've said, God, I can do better. I can have a better attitude about some things in life. God, help me. I'm not talking to you like someone who's never had a struggle or a problem. Young people, I'm still young. I struggle with my attitude from time to time. If no one did, we wouldn't need to talk about it. If no one struggled with their attitudes, there'd be no problems. But why are there problems in the church? Why are there divisions? Why are these people that don't like the way these people do it? Because people struggle with their attitudes. It's common. Christ struggled with his attitude, no doubt, but he never let his attitude control him. He, no doubt, controlled his attitude. Bad attitude makes you upset when someone else receives a blessing. I've been in services where a brother gets blessed. Now, we don't have brethren like Brother Gordon that'll get up and shout, but we see blessings. We have brethren in our congregation, that receive blessings in many ways. And I've watched as that one receives a blessing, maybe walks up and down the aisle, maybe stands up in the middle of a song, and I've seen people look over and almost, without doing it, shake their head as if to say, who do they think they are? Don't you be upset when someone else receives a blessing. If that's your first inclination, you nip it in the bud right there and say, God, help my attitude. Now, I'll tell you what, one of the best things you could do is start to get a blessing yourself. Think about that song. Think about that testimony. Think about the message. Apply it to yourself and say, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe that song was sang just for me this morning. It's all in how you look at it. You're the only one that has control over your attitude. I can't control your attitude. Your mother, your father, young people, they don't have control over your attitude. The pastor can't control your attitude, but you can. You can control your attitude. There's a story that I've shared before, and I'll quickly retell it. I don't know if I've ever told you here, but there was a man named Jerry that owned a restaurant. And the reason I like this story is because he used to say the same thing that I like to say. When people ask me how I'm doing when I'm out there working, you know what I like to say to people? If I were any better, I'd be twins. I try to stay positive. I try to stay happy. I try to enjoy my salvation. Everybody loved Jerry. People loved going to his restaurant. People liked being his friend. He was a good guy to be around. He had a positive attitude. One night, he left the back doors of the restaurant open and was closing up all by himself. Two men came into the restaurant through the back door. They wanted to rob him. They asked him to open a safe. When he was trying to open their safe, one of the men's fingers slipped. The gun dropped. The other men shot Jerry. And he shot him again. They fled the scene, and the paramedics came to take Jerry to the hospital. And Jerry said he felt pretty good when he was in the care of the paramedics. They kept telling him, you'll make it. Things will be okay. You'll make it. He got into the emergency room, and he said that the eyes of the doctors and the nurses that were there waiting to work on him told a very different story. He said he looked into those eyes, and he could see, he could read in their eyes that they were thinking, this was it for this, no chance for this guy. And so Jerry, laying on a gurney, bullets in his body, decided it was time to have a positive attitude like he always has. The nurse said, Jerry, are you allergic to anything? He said, yes, bullets. He said, right then and right there, they started acting like they were working on someone who was alive rather than someone who was about to die. He had no control over the people that broke into the restaurant. He had no control over the bullet that was in his body. He had no control over that nurse that looked like she was already giving up on him. But what did he have control of? His attitude. And that attitude saved his life. He came through that surgery and is fine. I want to just quickly look into the Word of God, and I want to read the 84th Psalm. Take your Bibles and turn to the 84th chapter of the book of Psalms. Remember, we're talking about attitudes this morning. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I want you to really think about this beautiful psalm. We could read quickly, but I want this to sink in this morning. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still praise, they will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, or weeping, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I would say that the writer of this psalm had the right attitude. Rather a doorkeeper. Think about your life this morning. Think about what God is asking you to do in the realms of the church. If you were just the doorkeeper, if Brother Decker just said simply, "Brother, I want you to stand at the door and I want you to simply greet every person that comes in," would you think that that would be better than anything you could do out in the world? Or would you say, "I'm just a doorkeeper. I can testify. I could pray." It's all in your attitude. You know what I would say? If Brother Decker came and said, "Brother Chris, I want you to stand by the door, and I want you to greet every single person that comes by," you know what I would say? "All right, I'll do my best." And I would take advantage of that, and I would make sure that every single person that I had a chance to see, to talk to shake their hands, got a good first impression of what was about to happen. Instead of just saying, "I have to just stand here and say hello." You can look at it this way, or you can look at it that way. Sheep on the right, goats on the left. What is your attitude like this morning? A day. One day is better in thy courts than a thousand without. Is that the kind of attitude that you have this morning? This was just a man that wrote this psalm. This wasn't Jesus Christ. This isn't red letters in your Bible. This was a man that wrote this psalm. And that's how he felt. Why are we so different? These are fair questions. These are good things to think about. These are things that should cause us to say, "You know, if that person could feel that way, why can't I feel that way? If that person can stand up and sing a beautiful song for the Lord, why can't I? If that person can raise their hand in agreement with the song, why can't I?" We're all made up of the same stuff. How amiable are thy tabernacles? It's not this. It's not brick and mortar. It's flesh and blood. It's the people. It's you and it's I. And I say with the right attitude this morning, you also have that beautiful psalm written on your heart. How amiable, beautiful, lovely are the people of God. It's all about your attitude. Attitude is everything. Young people, develop a positive attitude now. Make it a priority in your life to control your attitude so it doesn't end up controlling you. I want to say that again because I want you to hear that, young people. Make it a priority in your life, young people. Now, when you don't have the responsibilities and the things that weigh you down, like a family. And those are wonderful. I'm not saying those in a negative way, but right now you're at a time in life where you don't have the responsibilities that you will someday no doubt have. Make it a priority to learn to control your attitude so it doesn't end up controlling you. If you only allow yourself to have the right attitude in every situation, if you only allow yourself to have the right attitude in every situation, it will become easy to truly believe what the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28. Most of you don't even need to turn there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Have the right attitude, and that scripture is amen and amen. Brian Tracy gave us the following quote: develop an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for everything that happens to you, knowing every step forward is a step toward achieving something bigger and better than your current situation. Let me read that to you one more time in closing. Develop an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for everything that happens to you, knowing every step forward is a step toward achieving something bigger and better than your current situation. Young people, if I were to say there was one thing that could sum up everything that we've talked about throughout these services, if there was one thing that you could do that would help you to realize how valuable you are, help you to believe in the miracle of your salvation, if there was one thing that would help you to truly enjoy living for God and not just enduring it, if there was one thing above all other things that would help you put your all into the service of God, I would say it starts with our attitude. It's something very easy to struggle with, something very difficult to overcome on your own. But with God's help, you can have the right attitude every situation, every time, no exceptions. Do you remember the other night that I said that quote that I liked from that athlete? Too blessed to be stressed. Take that kind of an attitude forward from this meeting. Young people, you can be closer to God than you ever have been. You can be as close to God as you truly want to be with the right attitude. And if at all during these last meetings God spoke to you and you haven't made a move, if at all this morning you realize that sometimes your attitude isn't what it should be, don't be a stranger to the altar. Men are made strong down on their knees. Women are made strong down on their knees. God has great strength. The psalm said, going from strength to strength.